For an hour, Professor Kaufmann had been deep in the slumber that is common alike to just and unjust, provided that physical conditions are healthy, when he was aroused, first subconsciously, then consciously, by the loud insistent trilling of the electric bell. Professor Kaufmann sat up in bed, switched on the light, and verified that it was 2:10. A little while he sat, quite still, an oddly intent alertness in the grey eyes that looked so very light by contrast with his swarthy, black-bearded face and the black hair cut en brosse that rose stiffly above it. At last, moving leisurely, he left the bed, and from a chair back near at hand, he took up a heavy quilted dressing gown. He was a tall, active man of about 40, who did not look as if he were an easy prey to fear. Yet he trembled a little as he put on the garment. But then the night was cold, for the month was December. December of that fateful year, 1914. From a small table near the bed, he picked up a life preserver, a slight weapon of lead and whipcord, and he thrust it together with the hand that held it into the roomy pocket of his gown. Then, the bell still ringing, he left his bedroom, passed down the heavy carpeted stairs of that choicely appointed little house in Mayfair, and went to open the door. As it swung back, the light from the hall behind the professor fell upon a slim, pale young gentleman in a fur-lined coat over evening clothes. Professor Kaufmann's relief showed itself a moment, to give place almost at once to surprise and irritation.
"Elphinstone!" he exclaimed. "What the devil? Do you realize it is after 2:00?
His English was so fluent and colloquial that he might easily have passed for an Englishman. It was only occasionally that a too guttural note proclaimed his real origin. The young gentleman lounged in without waiting to be invited.
"Awfully sorry, Calf, to drag you out of bed, but I never imagined you would answer the bell yourself."
The professor grunted and closed the door.
"I am all alone in my house. My man is away, ill," he explained.
And he added, without cordiality,
"Come along in. There may still be a fire in the study."
He led the way upstairs, opened a door, touched a switch, and lighted up a spacious, lofty room, the air of which was pleasantly warm and tobacco-laden. In the fireplace, the remains of a fire still smoldered under an ashen crust. The professor went to stir it into life, and as he passed the massive writing table that occupied the middle of the room,